Track 2, Neil's take.
I went to my old school reunion dinner recently. As I headed off for the meal, I reflected that it was one of those rare occasions when I was going to a function without Mrs. H by my side. She could have gone with me, but she views the occasion as a boy's day out. She doesn't want to listen to us giggling over how we sabotaged the maths teacher's chair. But my solo trip did for some reason stir memories of my younger days when I was trying to acquire female company. Trying to persuade a girl that she wanted to spend 3 hours with a bespectacled, spotty youth in a darkened cinema. Remember when this was called courting? There's a quaint old-fashioned word. It conjures up visions of walks in the country, afternoon tea with parents, and the only physical contact, certainly in the early stages, coming from a shuffle round the dance floor. Having been married for decades, I had forgotten the stress I used to suffer in pursuit of my romantic aspirations. I never found it straightforward to ask a girl out. Some of my mates would get right in there and take rejection almost as a badge of honour. Me, I used to plan the deed with military precision and take refusal well below the chin. I'd rehearse my speech over and over. Once I was word perfect, I contrived to bump into my victim in a discreet location, where everything would fall apart. The problem was, she hadn't read my script, and often there would be one of her mates eavesdropping. Such bumbling approaches usually ended with a negative response, and I'd beat a less than dignified retreat with an unconvincing, perhaps another time. But that was only half of it. I had to face so-called supportive mates who had been egging me on. Some even stopped to motivate me with what turned out to be totally false incentive. It was a sure bet, they insisted. Why? Only yesterday they'd heard her say to she was just waiting for me to ask her out. Thankfully, there were occasions when the hunt ended in a kill. But after the initial euphoria, this seemed to impose just as much anxiety. Nerves took over. My appetite vanished as I planned my next military campaign. Where should I take her? Will he think me sad if I turn up smartly dressed, or scruffy if I wear jeans and a T-shirt? In no time at all, I was ringing her doorbell, and her father, who looked as though he played rugby for St. Helens, was opening the door. Why was it that any signs of individuality deserted me? If her favourite colour was indigo, wouldn't you know it? I was contemplating having my room decorated in that very colour. If her favourite pop group was the Rolling Stones, suddenly, in a certain light, I could see that Mick Jagger's lips could be seen as attractive. The last hour of the first date was planning the execution of delivering her to her door, bearing in mind the Hulk might be lurking in the hall. Should bodily contact be attempted on that first date? After all, there were those loyal mates who would want to know any juicy details. On the other hand, if I kept my distance, maybe she would think there was something wrong. She might even be offended. My best work was done in my Morris Mini. When I arrived at the girl's home, I never had the courage to switch off the engine. This seemed too obvious. I perfected a technique of pulling up outside the house, leaving the car in gear, and allowing my foot to accidentally slip off the clutch so the car lurched and stalled. At this point, having gone through a week living on my nerves, what did I do? Kick the whole cycle of events off again by asking for a second date. Eventually, Mrs. H came to my rescue. I think she may have seen me as a project. After all these years, you may ask, has she been successful? I should suspect she would say, it's still a work in progress.
Thank you, Neil. Although I'm not sure that we necessarily wanted to be reminded of those excruciating days of first dates and youthful infatuations,